listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 104 of Arkansas Prep Extra. My name is Kyle Sutherland. We are powered by SB Live, and normally we are joined by our fearless leader here in Arkansas, Nate Olson. He has been traveling all day, so we're going to have two guests on. Later, we're going to talk with Springdale girls head coach Heather Hunsucker, who has the Lady Red Dogs on pace for their best season in school history. But first, we've got one of the best to ever do it in high school basketball in the state of Arkansas, a six-time state champion with his alma mater, North Little Rock, and that is none other than Johnny Rice. Coach, it's truly an honor to have you on, and I know that that it's, gosh, 2 years now almost since you've retired, so it's been a while since we've caught up. I think it was probably around your retirement that that happened, so kind of tell everybody what you've been up to in those 2 years since you stepped away from basketball.
Well, I mean, when I retired, I had a plan. I'm working for Philip McKellar. He was, if people remember him with BNU basketball, he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Arkansas in 1986. We were teammates in high school at North Rock Northeast and good buddies, and he has a wealth management firm, and so I've gone to work with him and kind of for him, and we go out and we meet with teachers, and so I would just do some retirement advising. So it's kind of that I'm knowledgeable, but I'm just gone through the retirement process and all that kind of stuff. So I was kind of a little ahead of the game there. But I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed going to other schools. I've been going out to schools and kind of see how they do stuff. And so it's been different, but I've really enjoyed it. I've had a good time with it.
And obviously you've been watching plenty of hoops. I know that you had a chance to do some coverage with the King Cotton Classic back in, I guess, in late December. And I know you got to see Pine Bluff. I guess, what was it, four in-state schools? We had Whitehall, Pine Bluff, Benton, and Little Rock Christian. So four in-state schools that got to play. We'll start with Class 6A. Nate and I, we'll at least stick with that plan. Nate and I normally start with Class 6A and then work our way down. So we'll talk about a team you're very familiar with, North Little Rock Charging Wildcats. You know, Nate Claiborne, he worked for you for a long time and took over. And I don't know that anybody there's definitely been other people that have taken over for legendary coaches, but just considering the fact that y'all had that 2022 team that had was it nationally ranked anywhere in the top 15, I think as high as number 12, number 11, with Nick Smith, Kel Ware, all those guys. So he had a tough job as it was, you know, coming off of that season, but also had to step away some. But now they're playing really well. I know that they came up short against Bryant the other night, but definitely one of the top teams in Class 6A again is North Little Rock.
Oh, no doubt. You know, one thing about I learned as me being an assistant, I was an assistant for 14 years before I became the head coach. And, you know, I really enjoyed, I liked when the head coach gave me responsibility. Whenever you do that, you kind of make it personal. Like, if you give me responsibility to do this or that, or you got to where Coach Alexander, the last coach I worked under, he wanted me to run the offense, and then he said he wanted me to do every bit of offense. I handled every bit of it. And then his last year, he was like, Coach, I want you to handle practice. And he really prepared me, but it really taught me that I got to give my coaches, my assistants, responsibility. And Coach Claiborne handled my defense. He went from doing it to where he would call it and he would game plan for it. And I really think that helped, because it helped me moving over 14 inches, they would say, to the big boy seat. But I think, Coach Claiborne giving him responsibility. And that really helped him. And he's doing a great job. He's got a senior ball club that's really, really guard heavy. And I say, I mean, they got really good guards, and you can win a lot of games with good guards. And when they get consistent play out of Robert Griffin, the big boy inside, whenever he's a presence, they can beat anybody. So not only they Bryant's beat them twice, but they were up 17 points on Bryant in the Fort Smith Classic at Christmas. They were up big on Fayetteville, and Fayetteville come back and got them. So they're there, and then they're two of the top five teams in the state. And I know they got a big one tomorrow night over at Little Rock Central.
And I know you had a lot of great matchups. Speaking of Little Rock Central, the Bryson Warrens, and you even coached against Honor Boateng. It seems like he's been around forever, and he has. He's been a four-year starter, and he's having a phenomenal senior year. And Bryant, Bryant's Coach Averson's always had a competitive team, and they were really good last year, but just on a different level this year. Like you met Kellen Robinson, I think you just mentioned him a second ago. He came in from Episcopal and had a 33-point game the other night. They've got just a loaded roster right now, won 21 straight games. So it kind of seems like right now, Bryant has stepped into that role. Jonesboro was obviously, as they moved up to 6A last year and then won the state championship, they were kind of up there in the upper echelon. But it kind of seems like Bryant right now has taken that spot as Jonesboro continues to find itself here in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Bryant's on like the 21 game winning streak now, I think it is. Yep. I mean, they lost their first two. I know they're 21 and 2.
So 21 and 2.
They won 21 in a row. I guess that's that. And Coach Abrahamson has built a culture of physical, hard nosed defense. That's what they've been known for. I used to hate. We go to team camps in the summer, and I just didn't like playing his teams in the summertime because, I mean, they're just so physical and they get after you and they play hard. He's built that culture there that now he's got the players to score the ball for him, and that he can't just rely on that defense. So they're right there. They got a great shot for this year. And I really root for Coach A because I think he does a great job. I know he got a runner up that year when Fort Smith Northside beat him in the finals, and I would love to see him get one.
Then you go over to the West, and two of those teams have been number one already. Harbor was there, and now Fayetteville currently is. And Fayetteville hasn't lost to in-state competition this year. I believe both the teams they lost to were in a Florida tournament right before the new year. So both of them doing really well. Last year it was kind of Bentonville West in that top spot, those top one, two, three spots. Throughout at least the regular season. And again, it's pretty much those two right now. Springdale, I feel like, is one that could possibly, especially in this last month of the regular season, that could really pop off. They've played another tough schedule, as they always do, but they've got Isaiah Seeley back now. He's healthy, so that's a big – they've got two wins coming into this week. So I think that is a team, the defending state runner-up, that could be really dangerous here down the stretch.
Oh, no doubt about it. Fayetteville's built like I said, they got big, strong guards, and they got some presence inside also. But they're not just they got three or four guys that might get them 20 that night, and that goes a long, long way. I know Coach Harbor Coach Deffenbaugh with the Muldrow kids. I mean, he's the real deal. He got some other young guards, and they're really good. I mean, they was number one for a long time, a long stretch there, but he just got beat the other night. And then with Seeley might be the best guard in the West. And you got the best player that gives you a shot any night. It's right there. I think them three for sure. You never know, Coach White's slip up. I saw some of his scores. He's keeping them really low and slowing it down. But he's doing what he needs to do to give his team a chance to win. So I wouldn't count him out either.
Then you go down to Class 5A, and we'll start – we'll touch on the Central and the South first. And really the past 2 years, the South has flexed its muscle. I know Jonesboro won the last year that they were in. They had beaten Pine Bluff to get to the state finals and, of course, took down Marion. But the past 2 years – in the 5A semifinals, you've had at least two teams from that conference. Then last year, you had Lake Hamilton and Pine Bluff in the finals. Obviously, Pine Bluff and Lake Hamilton, they're good once again. They've both beaten each other, with Lake Hamilton getting them back last week. But also, too, you've had the emergence of Benton. Last year, Benton started off really hot, and then things just did not go well in the second half of the year. But they're playing as well as anybody. I talked about Bryant just a second ago. It's pretty exciting times in Saline County right now.
Oh, no doubt about it. I got to see Ben play two, maybe 3 days. I can't remember at the King Cotton. I was impressed. Burgess is the real deal. I was watching him. I thought, man, he's just kind of laid back. He just goes through the motions at times. But there was the game I watched him, and he was the difference. So I think they sent him in overtime. I want to say they won in overtime. I can't remember. But he was the man guy he was supposed to be, and he really stepped up. And that's what's going to put them over the top. I know they've been there, but they hadn't won one. But whenever Burgess does what he's capable of doing, I think it makes them the best team.
And you look at too with you've got Whitehall with Jay Sean Hayes. You've got also two Hot Springs that went to the quarterfinals, dang near made it to the semifinals. So I really wonder, in a conference that's that loaded, and when you're a four seed, you can really do some damage. And I also look over at the Central, and I think of a team like Catholic, that I believe actually right now, if the season ended today, they would be the four seed, or maybe they're at the five, but they're right there pretty much on the verge of a playoff seed. I will say that Catholic, just, and I've watched a lot of Maumelle games over the past couple of years, and getting to see them against Catholic, you know, the Rockets beat them last week for the third time in a row. Very, very fundamentally sound team, very well coached team. But the Central in general right now is just madness. Parkview, their record is very – Parkview and Maumelle, to me, their records are very misleading. They've obviously got very talented rosters, played brutal schedules. And also, too, you've got a Bologna team in there. It's got a lot of size. You've got Deshaun Spence. You've got Ethan Dietz. Got some great guard play. But right now they're just kind of cannibalizing each other, so you don't really know what's going to happen. But to me, yeah, that's just kind of what it is. It's madness in that conference right now.
Oh, yeah, you got Pine Bluff and Crutchfield's. I watched them play, the team that ended up winning it. And they battled them, and Crutchfield was not out of place on the basketball court with some major Division I talent out there. And so they've been there, done it. I think that means a lot whenever he gets down to state tournament time, is that experience of doing that. I don't know if Robbins has got enough with him to push Lake Hamilton back to the level that they were, but they're very competitive. And as good of a player he is, you know, anything can happen in one night. And Bologna, Coach Campbell has done a really, really good job there. And he's got a big, strong kid inside and another kid inside, and they got solid guard play. And I like the way he's built it, too. He's going out trying to play the toughest schedule you can. That's what I tried to do, was get my kids through the non-conference schedule to get them ready for the conference schedule. I always say we got three seasons. You have the non-conference, conference, and then the real season in the state tournament. And you want to be as prepared as possible to play in the toughest environments. And all these teams that are in the 5A that we were mentioned that's got a chance, and they for sure have done that in their non-conference schedule.
I was looking at the East earlier, just kind of examining some things, because I had noticed Marion, you know, under Coach Emmanuel Wade in year one, who had a phenomenal run there at Marion, and I think he's going to do as good, or maybe just – he's definitely going to continue what he did at that school, I guess is what I'm getting at, with the Patriots. But he's done really well. They fell in their first conference loss, and, of course, their first in-state loss. But then you've also got a Nettleton team that had a really good state tournament run last season. West Memphis is a team that I still continue to defend, and I think I will until they don't make the state tournament, just because another one, you know, I'm, as you can tell, I'm really, and I think you probably noticed by me and my rankings back in the days, I'm really big on strength of schedule. So if I see a team that's 500, like a West Memphis, and I look at what they did in their non-conference play, I really feel, and also their history too. That's a basketball school, as we've seen. They've been down a little bit recently, but just that East there, I don't know that there's maybe other. We thought that it might have been Marion. I don't know that really anybody has separated themselves right now. When you look at some of those teams that I just mentioned, Valley View is another one that's kind of sneaking up there. They got that big win over Marion, so it's a little bit unpredictable to me. And one of the leagues that's typically one of the deepest year in and year out.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. That whole group up there in the Northeast, in that corner, they beat up on each other for every year. But there's really good basketball, and somebody comes out of there and it really does a lot of damage in the state tournament.
And then also, too, in the West, you know, that was a conference that everybody expected to be much better this year, which last year during the regular season, it didn't seem like it was that great of a league, but then you got to the state tournament time, and then Harrison makes the semifinals. I think Greenbrier, I can't remember, I think they lost in the first round, but gave a really good fight. I can't even remember what the game was. I just remember that they stuck out. But then also Greene County Tech made it to the semifinals, and not many people expected that to happen. Or, I'm sorry, Greene County Tech was in the East. I meant to say that a second ago. Harrison was the one that made it to the semifinals. But then this year, Harrison's in fifth place right now, which nobody saw that coming. And then you've also got Alma in first place, which they did not play very well during non-conference play, but really since conference play has come on, they have just really heated up. So they're sitting in first place right now. And then you've also got Van Buren right behind them. So in Mountain Home, sitting around third, fourth place. So I think probably most by this point, if we would have been talking about this in November, you're probably thinking, okay, Mountain Home or Russellville is probably going to be at the top. Maybe a Van Buren until you knew they were going to be much more improved. But do you think that there could be possibly be a team maybe right now that in that conference that does maybe what Harrison did last year and makes a deep state tournament run?
Oh, yeah. I think you start missing all those teams, and they're so well coached. There's so many of them. Coach Chenault's done an unbelievable job at Russellville, making them probably another little level than what they were when Coach Pennington had them. He's done unreal, but those guys are so well coached. Yeah, that for sure. When it comes state tournament time, they're gonna sneak up on somebody that because they've been beating up on each other so much, they'll sneak up on somebody in the state tournament. They do it every year.
4A got a little bit interesting because I think pretty much throughout the year, it's many expect Little Rock Christian to repeat with all that they had come back. And then also, too, anytime you've got a player like Lane Taylor that's now a 3,000-plus point scorer, you've always got a chance. And they've got plenty of shooters, plenty of weapons around him. But let me ask you, Coach, you played against a lot of great statewide talent. You played against a lot of great national talent in your career. How do you prepare? You obviously don't prepare to stop Lane Taylor. That's just not going to happen. How do you prepare to just slow him down in a game?
Man, I know you try to make the floor smaller, shrink it for him, right to where when they got the ball, it's gapped up where, you know, I would want Taylor to see three sets of numbers or nine eyeballs six eyeballs staring right at him every time he gets it. You can't always do that. He gets in transition, gets loose. But, you know, there's sometimes I've gone with the approach with that guy's going to get his. That's why I make sure there's nobody else that's averaging 4 points a game gets 14 points a game and get that game. And, you know, so either way, my teams wasn't really known as for shutting somebody down a lot. We have. I thought we did there's a few times in the state championship game that we did really lock in and do that. But, there's so many different – you can face guard them to where you're switching everything on them to where you're double-team them every time. And so there's different things you can throw at them. But Taylor's going to get his, right? Because his shot selection would be very questionable for almost any other kid in the state of Arkansas besides him. And he's been so impressive. I got one of our – he used to be our junior high coach in North Little Rock. He lives up there in Farmington now, or his son lives in Farmington, but he lives up there too. So they're always sending me stats and videos of Taylor, and man, they're fun to watch. He's an impressive guy, and he gives them a chance every night to beat anybody. He really does.
Yeah, it's almost like if he doesn't score 25 or 30 in a game, it's almost surprising at this point just how many times he's done it for almost 4 years now. So. And looking across Class 4A, Subiaco Academy is a team that's really quietly impressed. Beat Morrilton the other night. The only time that they've lost this year is to Morrilton. You also always like what Coach Zachary does at Morrilton year in and year out. I know that Brookland is another one that's off to about a 21 or 22-2 start, something like that. But when you look at this Little Rock Christian team, who was upset by a red-hot Clinton squad the other night, who I believe Clinton is now at 9 or 10 in a row, something like that. But the double overtime 1-point loss to Clinton. I look at Little Rock Christian last year. I know probably the overwhelming consensus, not overwhelming, but a lot of people are probably going to look at that and say, okay, well, maybe they're a little bit overhyped. I look at Joe T. Robinson last year. Basketball is just a funny game. Anybody can slip up at any time, but you know, it's a long season, a lot of games. And to me, this is going to be a similar deal with what happened with Clinton to what happened after the Joe T. Robinson game. Now, I know they ended up losing to Blytheville later on before they beat them in the state championship in the finals. But when you just get this Little Rock Christian team from top to bottom, all of their depth, the talent that comes along with it, I mean, do you think that at their very best that there's anybody in Class 4A that could hang with them?
Yeah, I remember, you know, last year saying that Little Rock Christian lost to Blytheville in the finals of the regional, and then they just really wasn't even a close game in the finals. But it's like the stars aligned perfect, and they played a perfect game, and then that happens in the deal. So I thought they peaked at the perfect time, and then, you know, I'm looking at them being. If somebody's asking you, who do you think is the best team in the state at the start of the season, I would say Little Rock Christian. And Coach Pennington done a great job of making a really, really tough schedule. I mean, as tough a schedule as he could get to prepare his guys. And, you know, there's so much talent that I would have to make them the favorite, even with their record being like 16-7 or the way it is. But I love what Coach Zachary does. I think he's an excellent coach that when they play – strong, solid, hard defense, and are really, really structured. They're fundamental. I really, really like that. Magnolia with Coach Lindsay, they've been there. And I knew he kept hearing about you hear about Ford and all of them, and they knew they had younger ones in like the ninth grade. This was a couple of years ago, so those guys are getting up there. So them guys have been there, done it. And then with Brooklyn with Coach Gross, man, nobody that dude he'll make the score 4-2, and he'll eat it up, and he'll love it. So his style really, really does cause problems, especially if somebody never played against it and done that a lot. No, his shot clock has changed a lot of that, but still, there's still ways he can slow it down and really irritate somebody who's probably got more talent than they got. But man, he's beat so many teams that. With less talent than probably anybody on the whole list.
What is your take on the shot clock? You know, you got out right before that got implemented. Are you a fan of it? What is your take on that?
We had it in 6A, and then before everybody else did. So
that's right. I forgot about that.
And so we had played in a couple of the tournament. I think it's the Coach Ripley one now. It used to be Janitor Jackets. We always had one in there. I never hear the shot clock go off in 3 days of basketball there. But I enjoyed it, and it changed it. It gave you a little something else to work with, like how you're going to defend somebody, to pick them up, make them use a certain shot clock up, stuff like that. Offensively, you're putting stuff in to where if you got late into the shot clock, if it was a certain ball screen with certain people, there was some type of emergency type. Something that they could jump into really quick if they saw the shot clock was going down. And so that I enjoyed that part, and because it was just something different, and so just add a little bit of more, I guess, fun to the game, in my opinion. And then the way my team's played, not very often. I don't know if we've ever got a shot clock violation. I don't know. I had great players, so I didn't. And I wanted them comfortable in doing it, and they usually were. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we head out here, before we head into the interview with Coach Hunsucker, I'll go ahead and ask you. I'll put you on the spot here. 2 years out of the game, are you completely content with what you're doing, or do you have an inkling of desire to ever get back in?
You know, a year ago, I mean, I get asked that all the time.
I'm sure you do.
It used to be every day. And a year ago, I said, no, I got out, after out time, but now I'll say I'll never say never. So I don't plan on it.
You're just kind of enjoying life day to day. That's what you should be doing. Absolutely,
I am, and you never know what the Lord's got in front of me. And if he wants me to get back into teaching and coaching, I'm sure going to do it. And so I'm never going to say never. I don't know. I think you have to be sure in the right spot. And there's those spots. You never know. I'll never say never, but that's not my plan.
Coincidentally, yeah, coincidentally, that was I actually learned to never say never over in 2023 because of a lot of coaching changes, mainly on the football front. But that's that was actually my end of the year column, was to never say never. See Buck James going to Conway and all these crazy things that are happening. So.
Yes, exactly.
We've been talking with former North Little Rock head coach Johnny Rice and six-time state champion coach. As always, great catching up with you. It had been a long time. We'll definitely have to chop it up again with you.
Please do. I had a blast. I appreciate you thinking of me and inviting me to do it. Anytime y'all need something, holler at me.
Up next, we talk with Springdale Lady Dogs head coach Heather Hunsaker. Stick with us. We are now joined by Springdale Lady Red Dogs head coach Heather Hunsaker. Coach, really appreciate you joining us. Coach Hunsaker is in her 13th season as the Springdale head coach and off to a really, I guess you can't really say hot start anymore since we're about probably 75% of the way through the season, but y'all are currently 18-4, 7-2 in conference, and you sit in a tie with Fayetteville for second behind Fort Smith Northside, and still got a lot of good games in the future, starting with Bentonville, which we'll get into here in just a second. But coach, just talk about first off what this means for your program. Obviously, really after that 2019 season, for about 3 years, it was a tough go. So, just from what y'all have experienced thus far, what has that been like for you and your team?
Yeah, you're right. You know, 2019, we graduated a really good class of kids. You know, Marquisha Davis is currently playing at Ole Miss and doing really well. And then we had some struggle. And I'm not going to lie to you, it was hard. We even lost a player in the middle of that struggle. And that just about did me in as a coach. I've shared that with a lot of people. But thanks to past players, I'm still here. And thanks to players reaching out and saying, don't let this define you, you know, keep going. So those 3 years were tough. They were tough due to COVID. They were tough record-wise. They were tough due to loss of a player. You know, you could feel this coming with this team. Last year, I know the record maybe wasn't indicative of where we thought maybe we could be. But we started two freshmen last year, and we started a junior, but she had never played varsity. The AAA denied our request, and so she played JV her whole sophomore year. And so we put three brand new starters out there last year together, and we just felt really strongly that if we could stay together and stay healthy, that was a big thing too. We lost two kids to ACL last season, and we got them back. And we felt really strongly if we could stay together and continue the progress that maybe we could be competitive. I don't know if our wildest dreams, we believed we'd be 18-4. Inside the locker room, we have a belief, but these kids really, really are resilient. And it starts with Charlene Hudson, our leader at point guard. You know, they won at Lakeside, and that had never been done in junior high. And they're doing those things at Springdale in record fashion. They've broken a ton of records already this season.
You mentioned that you could see this coming, the great season that you're currently having. Did you see after that 2019, you know, you mentioned Marquisha and that run, I believe it was to the quarterfinals that y'all went to in 2018 before falling to eventual champion North Little Rock. But then after that 2019 season, did you see that coming to the rebuilding years? I know that you probably didn't see it quite, like you said, you didn't see COVID coming. You didn't see losing a player. You can't predict those things. But did you definitely see possibly some rebuilding coming?
For sure. You know, I've been in this business now for 22 years. And when you watch your junior highs, you have a pretty good idea of what's coming up the pipeline and are they ready to play high school or is it going to take a little while, you know? And we saw some things that we knew we're going to have to work through when we put the pieces together from George and Lakeside. But you can't predict some of the things like we talked about that did happen. There's just no predicting that. So, but you could see maybe that the rebuilding was going to take some time.
And you had obviously as a player and as an assistant coach, tons of success. You won state championships as a player, was actually on the first ever Fort Smith Northside team that under Ricky Smith, who you coach against at least twice a year now. Mm-hmm. And we're also on two state championship softball teams plus basketball. So out of all the coaches that you've worked with, not just in basketball, but overall ones that you've played under, worked under, what are maybe three, or I know this is an extremely tough question, but what are maybe three or four things, or maybe a handful, that you have taken from all of the coaches that you've either played or worked under that you use today?
Yeah. I think number one is I was taught about relationships, you know, that the kids won't hear what you have to say until they know you care about them. And if you see me on the sidelines, you probably think I'm crazy, you know, yelling and stomping and pacing, but you don't see all the things that go on behind the scenes. You don't see the car rides homes and the pickups and coming in the office and sitting in the red chair and having sessions about life. And those are things that we take great pride in. We, you know, my players would tell you if they have a need, they know they can pick up the phone and call me or come see me. That matters a lot. That's number one. Number two is that accountability piece. Don't be afraid to coach your best player or your best players really, really hard, because they're not going to run off from those things. And I think sometimes coaches are afraid to coach their best players really hard. And I've just seen the opposite. I've seen a lot of thanks and a lot of growth in those times. And last is treat every player on your roster like they are your best player. Jason Shirey taught me that. He won, you know, 5 state championships at Fayetteville in softball, and I had the chance to be underneath him. And he would give the same amount of pitches to the kids that played JV as he would to the kids that played varsity. And always stuck with me, you know, like, you got to treat every kid in your program the exact same way and show them that they do matter, whether they play JV or not. And in my time at Springdale, I've always had a kid or two that's played JV to start that end up playing varsity. And one of them even got a college scholarship a few years ago. So it's just those things that have really, really helped develop me as a coach.
And kind of building off of that, I know that one of the things that you really do take a lot of pride in is defense. I've heard you talk about it. I've seen it watching your teams. Even like last year, like you said, y'all were around 500, but you could see just the improvement, just the hard, the toughness that your team played with. Talk about just, Dan, I know that's probably something that Coach Smith taught you, other coaches that you've worked under and played for. But talk about that, because that's a point we always hear about a kid that scores 30 points a game and maybe compiles a double-double or something like that. But some of the things that don't show up, like hustle on the stat sheet, you see a lot on defense in particular.
Yeah. Well, but I think it, you know, our kids are bought in that it does show up in the win column, right? The diving on the floor, the taking charges, the getting to the loose balls, the extra effort on rotations. I hope that our fans are seeing that. You know, I hope they see the reward is in the win column. And I think that you sell kids to, you look like a star in your role when you do those things, right? You become a person that colleges do want and they do seek out, because defense is a lost art, I think. I think that we talk about points, like you said, you know, we highlight who scores this, but where's the highlight of the kid that has 7 steals in a game or 10 deflections or has 10 rebounds and 7 steals? Those things matter to winning. And luckily I have a whole group of kids who are bought into the fact that some nights we may miss some shots, but we can still be the best defensive team in the conference. And our kids are bought into that. They believe that. They believe we can be the best defensive team. And we use our speed to do that, right? We're not the tallest team that's going to walk out the floor, but I think that we're going to fight for every possession on defense. And maybe where we've grown since last year is we are a little better with our rotations. We are a little better knowing the scout and understanding the scout because we're a year older, right? And so they do understand now what I mean when I say we got to close out that shooter. They can't catch and shoot, or we're going to be heavy help here. They understand those things at a higher level.
And looking at just the 6A West, looking at the 6A Central, I think every year for at least within recent memory, when you start talking about the West before every season, you look at the Fayettevilles, the North Sides, and just historically the state championships. And the Central, it's Conway and North Little Rock. I know Cabot's really made a big push there. Central's very athletic. But those are kind of the two teams from each conference that year in and year out you point at. I would ask how your girls have handled the continued success, but it's very clear that they've done that very well. So have they more so done that, maybe more so from your senior leaders or certain team leaders, or has it something that maybe at the very beginning the coaches had to take more involvement in, or is it really just the players that have taken that leadership, those leadership roles?
Yeah, you mentioned some great programs. And I just spoke to Coach Nance the other day on the phone. Jay Cook has been one of my friends for a long time since he's been down at Paragould. Coach Fimple, I mean, you name some programs that are just every year so good. And I got a lot of respect for those coaches. Let me start there. Those are some good programs. Coach Smith and I, Ricky, of course, are very, very close. We talk about once or twice a week. I think the world of him. And so to answer your question, this team is very much player led. They don't need me to say much. Even I think at the beginning when our schedule was real early, even on a win, we would take some clips and say, but if we want to beat Fayetteville, or if we want to beat Northside, or if we want to beat, you know, X in our conference, we have to do these things better. And so over and over, even on the wins, we were talking about those things. We were talking about, here's all the ways that we can improve, because we know we have to improve by the time conference play starts to beat those teams you're talking about. And our players, that's all I had to say to them. That's it. It's like, this isn't good enough if we want to beat Fayetteville at Fayetteville in December. We have to do some things differently. And they really bought into that. And so I'm going to give them all the credit in the world. They don't take it personal. They just say, okay, coach, and they do it. And that is great leadership. And we have some really good seniors that are super competitive. But we also have some juniors and sophomores and a freshman that we play quite a bit that follow that lead. So totally, totally player led.
I wanted to get your take on this because we discussed it on the podcast last week, inclement weather, as that was pretty much the highlight of, sure, other than the boys having a different number one team for the third week in a row. I think that was the highlight of the entire week, or low light, whatever you want to call it. But I think that's something that people, for as I was going through the games, I thought, okay, not to take anything away from X team, but I almost feel like just all the changes in schedules probably had a big effect on this particular game. And I saw that with multiple, with boys and the girls. I would imagine, as long as you've been doing this, you probably, coaches that are very tenured, probably before the season, explain around January, February, you're probably going to have at least a game or two that we're going to get moved around, or maybe even more than that. We had an entire week of that. I know up in Northwest Arkansas, it's even more prevalent. How do you – is that something else, kind of back to the player-led question, is that something else that your team probably by now, once they get to varsity, is used to getting some things in the schedule moved around, or is that kind of something that you have to make a adjustment, or I guess really make a point of emphasis to before each season?
Yeah. Yeah, weather is crazy. And I think to answer your question, the more coaches I talk to, it bothers the coaches more than it does the players. Because we are very OCD as coaches. We are very like routine based, like we're going to do this on a Wednesday and this on a Thursday. And so it throws off routine. Kids are really resilient. It's like, oh, we're not playing. Okay, we'll play Saturday, or, you know, whatever. They're used to change, you know, they're used to things being thrown at them. So I think the best answer is it bothers us coaches. Even when we know it's coming, it drives us crazy because we're kind of control freaks, right? And so the thing you can't control is weather. The other thing is injury. So you got an injury or you got weather, it throws us in a tailspin.
That's a great point, because I think about so many of the coaches that I talk to in various sports, and there are superstitions are real. I was even superstitious as a player, but there are many coaches. I mean, you know, like imagine Clay Reeves at Greenwood in something other than his slacks and his either a blue or gray pullover, just one example.
Right.
But you see that all the time, though. So that's great. I wanted to get a coach's input on it, just because that was something that got brought up. And I'm like, man, there's no telling. And you don't think about it until it actually happens, you know, even though it does happen to us at least once a year. But we've been talking about your team throughout this whole time, and we'll go into a few. You mentioned Charlene Hudson and a couple of other players, but some of your top, I know you got great senior leaders in Aubrey Wilson, Ja'Kayla Bunch, the name too, and then Charlene along with Kaya McCoy. They really blossomed as freshmen last year. I know you've got some other really good junior contributors as well. So I'll go ahead and let you have the floor. And since this is your team, I'll let you talk about your players individually.
I appreciate that. I think you've got to start with our seniors, right? Ja'Kayla Bunch is now in her second year playing varsity, and she really sets the tone defensively. So she just committed to go to college at Crowder, and I think they got a steal. Ja'Kayla was maybe is going to have a great basketball career. She is tenacious on defense and has really bought into her role. One of the best defenders I've ever coached. I've been doing this a long time. She's one of the best defenders I've ever coached. And she knows where her place is. And second is Aubrey Wilson. Again, great defender, just different. She is a great rotator. She's a great help side kid. She's a great, like, go get a loose ball kid, take a charge. But nonetheless, you know, you could push her over maybe. She's so tiny, but you can't. You know, you would think you can, but you can't. She's tough. And she can also have the ability to step out as a lefty and shoot the three, knock down the three ball. And she's shooting in the last four games about 38% from the three-point line. So she's really picked it up, taking great shots. Then you got to go to our juniors, I think. You know, Adriana Hernandez is a kid that doesn't get talked about. But she's having her best season. And she had to miss last game to a health issue and maybe the next few games, but we need her back bad. I say that I have six starters. She's one of them. I could start. She is really, really, really a great three-point shooter, but she is our best kid that boxes out, and she is our best kid that's on her helpline. She takes a lot of charges. So we miss her big time, and she's having the best season she's had. She got moved up 2 years ago as a freshman, so this is her third season now, and you can tell. You can really tell. She knows everything that we do. She knows all of our stuff, and she gets other people where they're supposed to be. Leticia Ramirez, another kid I moved up, didn't play a lot, played JV, now contributing in varsity as a junior. Comes in, gives us depth, really kind of, for us, long. You know, she's 5'6", but she has long arms, gets a lot of deflections, knows her role, makes the extra pass. Then you've got to talk about, of course, our two sophomores. They're really talented. Charlene is – I had a kid by the name of Callie Berna that was at U of A, played under Jimmy Dykes and Tom Collin, and won, you know, two state championships, was in the other two finals, and we got beat on the 32-0 team. This kid is as good a point guard as Callie was. She's as good as that. She handles the ball. She gets her team involved. She has the ability – to me, that separates her in the state is I've seen some good point guards. What Charlene can do is she not only is a good player, but she elevates everybody else's game around her. And that, to me, makes a special point guard. When you can take a kid and put them on the floor and make so-and-so and so-and-so better than they truly are, you've got a real leader. And that's what she brings is, you know, she might not have 30 points. It might be 15. But when you look in the thing, it's 10 rebounds and 5 assists. She just makes the game easier. She delivers the ball on time. She understands who needs it where. Kaya McCoy has really grown her game tremendously. She actually had an offseason. She does like three sports. And so for her to have one offseason her entire life has made a difference. She's better on defense. She's better rotating. She's better at rebounding. And then now everybody knows she can knock down the three ball. But now she's taken off the bounce. She was able to make a couple floaters against Heritage the other night. It's just really nice to see her developing. We play a freshman, Allie Vaughn. We really like her. She's like Adriana, exactly like Adriana. She's really smart. She can knock down the three. She can drive to the rim. She's quick. She helps in our press with rotations. And then to finish out, we got a kid back that Charlene's sister, Carolinda, that tore ACL. She starts for us. And let me tell you, it has made a huge difference this year having her back. This is also her third year to be in our program. The other night, she scored 10 points against Harbor. She scored 10 points against Heritage. But she can score it. She can pass it. She can handle it. And she's built kind of strong. And so she helps us down in the post with some defense and some rebounding. So we play 9 kids. Kaylin McCoy comes off the bench for us as a senior. She tore ACL too, a little slower getting back than Carolinda. But again, helps with depth, right? Like we can actually put 9 kids on the floor that are varsity ready. In my time here, even when Marquisha Davis was here, I did not have 9 kids varsity ready. We had 7. So we've got 9 kids that are now varsity ready. And I think some of that depth is what's helping us this season as well, keeping the legs a little bit fresher.
Definitely. And your next game, of course, at the time that this drops will be tonight's game against Bentonville. I know that was one of your four losses. What are some things that you took from that first matchup that you guys are going to make a point of emphasis towards tonight?
Sure. I want to start by saying I'm going to give Bentonville a lot of credit. They played really well. But Ja'Kayla Bunch didn't get to play very much that game. She was throwing up all day and sick. And I'll be honest, I don't even know how she stepped on the court. She played about a minute 50 a quarter, and she played 7 minutes a quarter for us. And so she would play, run in the locker room and puke. Play, come to the bench and puke. So number one, Ja'Kayla's back. And that's going to help us a lot. You know, you talk about you want your players on the floor. Number two is Kaya McCoy ended up in the ER that night. She has some health issues, and she ended up with an EpiPen and in the ER. So the first thing for us is make sure we're healthy. That's number one. Number two is we learned in that matchup that their matchup zone that night gave us a little bit of problems. They forced us into some shots maybe that we didn't want to take due to their length. And we can be better there. And we also lost sight a couple times of our rotations and our press. Ja'Kayla being gone made a big difference in that. Don't kid yourself. But the whole team can be better rotating. We caused 21 turnovers, and we think we could have caused more if we would have done our part. But Bentonville played really, really well that night. We're just hoping when they come here, maybe they have an off, more of an off night. But Ja'Kayla and Kaya being on the floor will help us a lot.
And that's just one of the games with about a month left in the regular season here. That's just one of the games that y'all have left with. So y'all as tied for second place, you've also got Fayetteville on the schedule, Northside again, I believe Northside and Harbor are your final two games. So with plenty still left in front of you, I know your team is as motivated as they've probably ever been, but you know, what is the message to the team to close out the regular season strong and to clinch one of those top seeds in the West, or possibly the top seed in the West?
Yeah, you know, so we make sure our kids are educated. The other night I had to explain the point system to them. They didn't understand what 10 points, you know, those tiebreaker points, what that meant. Second, we had to explain to them what a little X by their name meant, which meant you clinched a seed in the tournament. They don't know those things. And so the first thing is educate them. We think that we're probably two wins away from clinching a berth in the state tournament. And then we're going to talk about, okay, after you clinch, now where do we want to be, right? Seeding matters. And then maybe motivate them through that seeding. Another thing these kids are hearing, so Walter Woody, I'm sure you're very familiar with Walter Woody. Oh, yeah. He does records, and he sent us last spring a composite from 1978 to present. And the highest win total in Springdale history since 1978 is 22 wins. 22 wins, okay? So we were at 19 when Marquisha was a junior. And we got beat at North Little Rock, playing North Little Rock in the state tournament. Closest team to them that year in the state tournament. And we got beat. So this team is also hearing, how many records do you want to break? You know, so do you want to get 22 wins? Do you want to be an elite company in Springdale history? So I have kind of used Walter Woody and done some research. How many times have we won 10 games in conference, double digit? You know, since 1978. So we're using those things too as kind of internal motivation instead of looking at Harbor or looking at Northside or looking at Fayetteville. Like, keep it within us. Like, what do we want to do here at Springdale? And nobody's ever won a conference championship here. There's no banner. And, you know, that loss to Northside in overtime stung. I'm not going to lie to you. It stung. We hurt. We understood the importance of that game. But I think there'll be some motivation on the backside by our kids. I really do. And it's all new to us. But I really like this group's resolve, and I like their maturity. But I really like their will to win. They want to win.
We've been talking with Springdale Lady Bulldogs head coach Heather Hunsucker. Coach, really appreciate you taking some time out. I know it was short notice, but definitely appreciate you taking some time out of the busy schedule. Really have enjoyed watching your girls and the progress that they have made this year, and look forward to the rest of the season as well.
Thanks, and thanks for what you do. Appreciate what you do.